Morning. We are here today on Wednesday instead of our usual Thursday because tomorrow we will welcome Majority Leader Bob Dole back to the Congress of the United States, where he will lie in state under the Capitol Dome in the Rotunda. All of us who served in Congress at the same time as he did take great pride in that, and also that he was a person who taught everyone here about dignity, duty, integrity, and patriotism. Our condolences go to his wife, Elizabeth, who's a leader in her own right, Madam Secretary, Madam Senator, and now working so hard for our hidden heroes to care for our men and women in uniform when they come home. So again, we salute him, and of course we'll have more will be said about him tomorrow. Yesterday, President Biden continued to show American leadership to the world on his call to Russian President Putin. President Biden was clear, direct, and candid, and making sure there was an understanding that should there be any actions taken by Putin in Ukraine, that there would be tough consequences if he violates Ukraine's territorial integrity. These consequences would include strong economic measures, sending military support to Ukraine, and bolstering military support for our NATO allies in the region, including the Baltics, Poland, and Romania. Congress supports the president's strong leadership and the NDAA bill, which we passed in the House last night in a very strong bipartisan vote. We secured $300 million in security assistance for the Ukraine. That National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, which was overwhelmingly, as I said, bipartisan, contains many victories. We're very proud that it provides a pay raise for our military, supports military families' financial security and health in so many ways, modernizes our defenses and fortifies our military's technological edge, and combats adversaries, invests in alliances, and supports our partners. We're particularly proud that in this legislation, thanks to Jackie Speier, it contains historic reforms to combat sexual assault in the military. I commend Jackie for her lifetime of service on this subject, even before she came to Congress, but now as the chair of the subcommittee on the Armed Services Committee that oversees personnel. And on the floor yesterday, I was very, very proud of the action that was taken to secure the full faith and credit of the United States, which is written into the Constitution. As you were probably aware, the legislation we passed provided a process under which we could lift the debt ceiling with a simple majority rather than 60 votes in the Senate. In doing so, we are protecting families and the U.S. and global economies, preventing a loss of millions of jobs and trillions of dollars of household wealth. Trillions. Drastic increases in interest. Do you have a car loan? Do you have a mortgage? Do you have credit card bills, student debt, any other type of borrowing? Your cost would go up if we do not list the debt ceiling. And again, even a discussion of it in the past has served to downgrade our credit rating. We will not have that happen this time. And it has a massive drop, should this have happened, in the value of the dollar with global long-term consequences. This is as serious as it gets in terms of public policy, the people's interest, and the public interest. So, again, that has gone over to the Senate as soon as they go through the process of how to bring the bill to the floor, vote on it, come back to us, and we will be done in the time from middle December, which the Secretary of the Treasury has said, when the time and the money run out for lifting the debt ceiling. I'm proud of what's happening on the floor today. It's an anniversary of some things that I want to call to your attention. But the House continues our leadership with a package of strong legislation that sends a clear message that Beijing's crimes against the Uyghur people constitute genocide and must end now. I've said over and over again, if we refuse to act upon or speak out against violations of human rights in countries because of economic reasons, then we lose all moral authority to speak out against human rights violations anywhere. So 73 years ago, this very week, 73 years ago, the world convened the UN Convention on Genocide to condemn and combat this crime of genocide, which the Chinese are engaged in terms of the Uyghurs in China. 20 years ago, China, again, right now, acceded to the World Trade Organization, and that action, the interaction trade-wise, has not been a success. And during the same week, this week, that the inaugural summit for the democracy is launched under President Biden, we salute him for making that a priority at the head of state level, and again, happening at an opportune time for observing human rights. President has always said the challenge we have is democracy versus autocracy. And again, he is making a decision to highlight that at the highest level. I salute the president on his call this week that there would be no diplomatic presence of the United States in Beijing during the time of the Olympics. Some of us called for that in May. We must support our athletes. That's very important. We're not calling for the boycott, but and neither is the president saying no diplomatic presence. We're saying diplomatic boycott. But we cannot proceed if there's nothing wrong with having the Olympics in a country that is engaged in genocide and perpetrating human rights abuses. I don't get it about the Olympic Committee. We had this fight in the early 90s with them when they had crushed people with tanks at Tiananmen Square. And now again, the PRC, the People's Republic of China, is waging a brutal campaign of repression against the Uyghur people and other minorities with mass incarceration, torture, and forced labor. We talked about it last week in this meeting. But these bills, the House is combating this horrific situation and shining a light on Beijing's abuse. I salute Chairman McGovern, who's really been really our spiritual leader on human rights as the chair of co-chair of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission, as well as co-chair of the or chair of the committee on China. His bill blocking importation of goods made with forced labor by the Uyghur people, that really is our law, that we don't have our workers compete with slave labor in other countries. But this focuses specifically on that. Then we have legislation by Congressman Call, the ranking member on the Foreign Affairs Committee. His legislation condemns the International Olympic Committee for failing to uphold human rights commitments, and I join him in that. And Representative Jennifer Wexton's resolution condemning the genocide against the Uyghurs by the PRC. Again, if we don't speak up because we have an economic interest, we lose all moral authority. This is Human Rights Day for us. We put all of this together because of the change in schedule for reasons that I mentioned at the beginning of this meeting. At the same time, we're laser focused on continuing to lower cost and fight inflation, including with further action to address the supply chain disruptions. This week, we're passing the Ocean Shipping Reform Act, a bipartisan bill to bolster the Federal Maritime Commission, strengthen the overseas supply chain, and ensure fairness in ocean shipping. This is strongly bipartisan. In fact, the National Retail Federation yesterday wrote, while the bill cannot solve all current supply chain disruption issues, it will go a long way to address some of the core issues that existed well before the COVID-19 pandemic. Again, this is just one of several bills that we will pass that build on the success of the bipartisan infrastructure law. In there are billions of dollars, $17 billion, in fact, for ports and waterways for commerce to run more smoothly. And in the Build Back Better, that's the BIF, and the Build Back Better includes billions to identify and fix disruptions in the supply chain. So we're building back better with more efficient, productive economy with lower prices for the middle class. Tomorrow, we have very important legislation that goes to the heart of the matter of our democracy. Under the leadership of Chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, we will be passing legislation to secure our American democracy, the Protecting Our Democracy Act. It is a package of democracy reforms to restore the constitutional system of checks and balances and ensure that no future president can abuse his or her power, including the abuse of pardon power and abuse of office for personal enrichment, soliciting of foreign interference in U.S. elections, retaliatory attacks on whistleblowers and inspectors general, and contempt of Congress's oversight powers, including our lawful subpoena power and power of the purse, and more. I commend the distinguished chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Mr. Schiff, for his long-term work on all of this, and we look forward to a strong vote tomorrow. For the people, we will continue to fight for our democracy. It's a very busy time. I couldn't be prouder of our members. Democrats deliver. We delivered with the rescue package. We delivered with the BIF, the infrastructure, bipartisan infrastructure legislation. We delivered with BBB, Build Back Better, awaiting that return from the Senate. We're delivering on the supply chain, supply legislation. We, in the bill on Monday, just want to go back to it because it was so important. And when we were addressing the process for how we lift the debt ceiling, in there we also addressed the sequestration issue that would come due on January 24th. We touched on this in previous meetings, and now that date no longer looms for another year. And then we also took out a 2% cut in Medicare that was going to go into effect the end of December that would be very harmful to our healthcare workers, our docs, our institutions that provide healthcare, largely to our seniors. So that was a very important bill last night. It was like three bills packed into one in addition to the NDAA. Our strength in terms of our military and our men and women in uniform, our strength in terms of the well-being of the American people. Any questions?
Madam Speaker,
what about you?
Yeah, ma'am, as you look forward to sort of how this plays out from here, I know you got to wait on the Senate.
Right.
Do you expect that you're going to be able to move the debt ceiling stuff ahead of the 15th and before you guys depart for recess? Or?
Yes, we have to. They will, as I mentioned, the Senate will deal with the process in a couple of days. I mean, you have to ask them about their schedule, but when they do that, only then can they move forward with voting on lifting the debt ceiling. Then they'll send it back to us, and we will send it to the president.
Have members been subject to recall for BBB? Do you expect to have to bring folks back this calendar year?
Bring back?
Well, if the Senate
from
passes
where?
Build Back Better and there are changes.
Yeah, I understand, but where are they going that we're calling them back?
Home for the holidays?
Well, we hopefully we'll have this done before then. That would be my hope. But we have to do the defense bill. We have to do the process, the defense bill, the lifted debt ceiling, BBB, and I would hope that we could include in that the voting rights legislation that is over in the Senate.
Madam Speaker, Congresswoman Omar said after the two of you had a conversation that she was confident that you would take decisive action this coming week. Mm-hmm. What action was promised, if any, to Congresswoman Omar, and are you expecting to take any action against Congresswoman Boebert?
When I'm ready to announce that, I'll let you know.
Madam
yes,
Speaker,
sir.
Thank you. Just to get some clarity here on the social spending bill.
Yes.
So obviously, they... The social spending bill, the Build Back Better.
Oh, you're talking about the Build Back Better for the American people?
Yes.
What are we calling it?
Yes.
Okay, however you're referencing it is not familiar to me.
Okay.
But anyway,
okay.
The Build Back Better
but
legislation.
Just so we're on the same... You know,
I just want to know what you're talking about.
All right, very
make
very
sure you know.
No, I can be talking about two times. Anyway, that said, whenever the Senate does that bill, and to get some more clarity on this, you think that you could move so expeditiously that they could turn, that once you get it back, you can move this through the holidays, before the holidays, or do you think that this needs some time to massage in the new year, because that's going to be a different product, and some of your members are going to have to evaluate that?
All your questions are always about what you're going to do for the holidays.
But I asked
we are on our path to get the job done for the American people, and we feel very confident about what is in Build Back Better. We know what some possibilities are, and it would be my hope that we will have this bill done before the Christmas vacation or holiday.
Speaker Pelosi.
Yeah.
Speaker Pelosi.
Yeah.
Thank you. You've been saying that it's up to Leader McCarthy to deal with his members, like
yeah,
Congressman
it has.
Boehner. Mm-hmm. But it was the House Democrats who came in and punished Gosar and Green. So yeah. What makes the Boebert situation any different?
It's just an intensification of their neglect of honoring Rule 23 that says what we all have a responsibility to honor the House of Representatives and serve in a way that brings honor to the House. It's their responsibility to deal with their people. Well, how we deal with addressing the fear that they have instilled in the Islam, with their Islamophobia and the rest, is something that hopefully we can do in a bipartisan way. But the responsibility is on them. And I just went through a wealth of substance here. I don't feel like talking about what the Republicans aren't doing or are doing about the disgraceful, unacceptable behavior of their members. Any other questions on the subjects at hand? No. Yes, ma'am.
As we approach the end of the year, if you can, I have two questions. One is, do you think that the Capitol is safer this year than it was a year ago?
Of course I do. But we will always ensure that that is the case, and we are having all of the reviews of what we passed into law and how that is being implemented. But let me just say this about 1 year ago, and that is, I don't think that whatever preparation anybody would have made, that anybody could predict that the President of the United States would incite an insurrection and a violent one. So I don't fault anybody for not knowing, who have responsibility of communication and the rest on all of this, that the president was instigating this. I'm very proud of the work of the January 6th committee. As you see, we see it together in the public domain, the actions that they are taking to seek the truth. And the truth will tell us some things about our exposure then further. But also, I don't know if you can see, but from the windows in the Capitol, we can see actions being taken to protect the Capitol more further.
And also, there is a lot of conversations among members and staff about just the breakdown of comity in Congress and the tensions between the two parties. 400 staff members sent a letter to leadership today saying that they don't feel safe because of Boebert and others. So forward-looking, how do you address that, and how do you fix it, and can it be fixed?
Well, I'll never forgive former President of the United States and his lackeys and his bullies that he sent to the Capitol for the trauma that was exerted on our staff. These are largely younger people who come with idealism to work in the Capitol on either side of the aisle and whatever it is. And for us who sign up for this when we run for office, it's bad enough for our families to see the danger we're in. But for these young people, when I came back to the Capitol to say we're going to open up government in the Capitol that night, we were going to honor our constitutional responsibilities, even though they had an assault on that January 6th date fraught with meaning from the Constitution. When I saw what it meant to the staff, the way it traumatized them, it was frightening. That's something that you cannot just say, well, we'll do legislation to make sure this or that doesn't happen again. You cannot erase that. So I have a lot of communication with staff, with Capitol Police and the rest, so I know pretty much what people are thinking, not everything. We must always be, it's like an horizon. You're always moving to make it better And as far as civility is concerned, it would be a good place to start if they didn't start threatening the lives of members of Congress from one of their members to the next and saying nothing about it. But civility is very important. I just met with the spouses and commended them for the role they play in civility, because it really is, just as you suggest, really important, not only to the well-being in our communication and respect for each other, but also in terms of security. So I'll end where I began, with civility and Bob Dole. This was a just exemplary person to serve with in Congress. He served at a time when there was mutual respect, even though disagreement on many issues, across the aisle, across the Capitol. I had the privilege of working with him on a number of issues where I found him to be a man of his word. Everybody did. Everybody did. He was a patriot from the start as a very young person in World War II, where he was injured. And he always, until now, has been fighting with his wife, Elizabeth, who has been an angel on all of this, to help families of soldiers who were wounded in combat, as he was. He took that also to another place to expand it to people with disabilities, whatever the reason, and championed the Americans with Disabilities Act and its reauthorization and its funding along the way. He always taught us that we respect people for what they can do, not judge them for what they cannot. And of course, when it comes to food, Dole, in so many ways, McGovern Dole, not our Jim McGovern, although Jim McGovern has been a champion on food, George McGovern and Dole, making sure that that we were better prepared to feed the American people. So in some very specific ways, and just generally speaking, when you're talking about duty and civility, integrity and respect, and I'll have more to say tomorrow at his service. I had the honor of speaking at his 90th birthday at his invitation, a ceremony that was held in Statuary Hall. I told him this summer I was getting ready for his 100th birthday. I didn't know, sadly, that as speaker I'd be speaking at his lying in state in the Capitol. But when he comes there, he'll bring additional luster to the Capitol, as he has brought luster to everything he has done in the Congress. With that, I wish you well. We'll probably see each other before the holidays. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.